Good morning. Actually, I should say good afternoon. It is October 27th, 2013. I'm here with my friend Toby Pett. Toby becoming a regular on the podcast. Say hi to the people, Toby.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Good morning, Gloucester. That's your usual sign-in right there. I like it. We got a couple things to talk about today. The Red Sox lost a game last night. Game three, was it?
Yeah.
So they're down...
Down
2-1, and kind of a controversial call, I guess. Why don't you explain it to the people?
Well, the score was tied. And
was it the bottom of the ninth, top of the ninth?
Yeah.
Bottom of the ninth.
And they had one of their players was...
The Cardinals players. The
St. Louis Cardinals players was interfered with, according to the officials, and his ability to get home where he had been tagged out. Mm-hmm. And they're saying that the reason why he got tagged out is that his progress was impeded by the Red Sox third baseman. It wasn't that obvious. I would say that the Red Sox third baseman clearly did not make any effort to try to impede his progress, and for them to call it and to end the game, to end the game because it was tied 4-4, it changed the outcome of the game.
Yeah, much like the Patriots last week. So just before we move on to the Patriots, I saw photos of the call, and the umpire after the game explained his call, and he said, well, the guy was, you know, the Red Sox player was on the chalk, which would indicate that he did impede the thing. But the photos clearly indicate he was like a foot away from the third baseline, not even close. And it almost seems, and I'm not one of these conspiracy theorists that think that, like, games are rigged. I think that when you get to that level and, you know, players do not throw games or you know, for money, you know, I don't think Major League Baseball tells umpires to rule one way or another.
No,
I think they have way too much to lose.
I wasn't suggesting that either. However,
there are clearly people that believe that, though.
I do understand that there are people that believe it. I'm just suggesting that in that circumstance...
Leave that call alone.
Alone.
Let the players decide the game.
That's right.
Not the umpire. Yeah. Same type of situation. And the same type of situation last week with the Patriots. They called this play that had not been called, you know, on the last play of the game.
It was a rule, yes. Had both teams... and numerous other teams been breaking that new rule? The answer is yes. They were doing it all game long. Why do you call it all of a sudden when it can change the outcome of the game? It was overtime. Yeah. By calling that penalty.
It was going to be like a 50-plus yard field goal. Very low percentage field goal.
Right.
They could have let the teams play if he had missed it and decided on the field, but... They made it from a very low percentage.
They move it in 15 yards.
They move it in 15 yards. It's a makeable play. The Jets go on and win the game.
Right.
You know, very...
That call changed the outcome of the game as well.
Yeah.
And as I said, all the film will show you that both teams were doing that sort of thing all game long. Why do you call it all of a sudden in that one?
There's a time to swallow the whistle, and you know the you don't have the games decided like that. You know, if you hadn't called it off, just like any major league pitcher, or on any level actually, will tell you, I don't care if you call that a ball on me, as long as you're consistently doing it all game long. But don't change the strike zone on me.
Right.
Like. In the end or in the middle or whatever, like, I need to know where I can try to throw the ball and for it to be a strike. But if you're going to change it all around, and the hitters are the same way, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and so in both of those circumstances, they should have
swallowed the whistle.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. And, you know, I think that a lot... deep down inside, you think that a lot of these people have just had it with Boston being so successful over the years, and are not going to give them any benefit of the doubt on anything, you know.
Boston is a great community. Greater Boston is a tremendous area to be a sports fan.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's basketball or hockey. And when I say hockey, I mean college ranks, football. I mean, to be able to watch BC play through the various years. I mean, there's a lot.
That's not so much anymore, though. We kind of, ever since they broke up the Big East, that's fallen right off a cliff. Like, no one, I don't even think they have the BC games televised anymore. It's not an automatic.
I watched the BC Clemson game a few weeks ago.
Was that because of because it was a national game because of Clemson more than BC, probably?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, but it used to be a given that you'd be able to see BC and follow them, and now they...
But it's still a great community to be able to be a sports fan in. To be able to watch BC and BU hockey games, if you're a hockey fan, we're so lucky.
Yeah.
Well, that's all. I mean, it's not just our professional teams. I'm saying there's a lot of great sports in the greater Boston area.
Master of the obvious. Right there.
Yeah.
All right, sister Felicia. A lot of people probably didn't realize this because they don't. You'd really have to pay attention to the minutia of the blog, and a lot. Like I would say, probably 20% of our viewership probably knew that she wasn't an official contributor, which mean by official meaning being able to go in and actually upload her own posts. She, you know, she had a lot of posts on Good Morning Gloucester that I would, you know, edit for her. She would send me the raw stuff, and I would, you know, put the pictures where they had to go and upload them onto my user account, my WordPress, as the editor of Good Morning Gloucester. Now she has been given the keys of the kingdom, much like Lowell Peabody was our last person that we gave the keys to the kingdom. I think Fred Bowden was the one before that, but. So she's going to be able to post directly. She is filling Father Green's slot, who has some news to announce soon that I'm gonna let him announce it. But Felicia will have the 10 a.m. slot every day. And what else I wanted to say about her is that for people that don't know. I hear around town some people say, I wish I would have got her cookbook. I didn't get on the Kickstarter. You can buy her cookbook. She will ship it to you or you can pick it up. I have some down the dock, as a matter of fact. But if you go to the top of the Good Morning Gloucester, there are links in the header bar, it's called. And one of them says Sister Felicia's Recipes or Sister Felicia. You click on that and there's a link to her. Her page where you can directly buy the book.
I can tell you that I purchased a good number of the books, but I've given them as birthday gifts. I mean, the holiday time is coming. If you're looking for a good gift to put together to give a friend or a family member, I would suggest it. It's a lovely, lovely gift.
Yeah, it's one of those gifts that, you know, you should always have a couple of gifts in a couple of different price ranges that are you have in the closet, like maybe in a gift bag, that ready to go for when someone shows up with a gift for you, ready to, you know, and a book, a DVD, you know, something like that, or a T-shirt, whatever, a cap, baseball cap. These are all things that are easy, and the price range, anywhere from $40 down to. You know, baseball cap we have is $20, but Felicia's cookbook is a great gift for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I imagine she's going to sell a lot of cookbooks for Christmas presents.
I hope so.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, so, but she's official now. She's official. I'm looking forward to. And you know, what's good is people can directly ask questions in the comment sections underneath her posts. If they have a question on one of her recipes, they can get a direct answer from her, and that's nice.
Yeah, so, we're lucky.
Good addition to the blog right there.
Sure.
Just keep adding good people. That's what we do. I am very, as happy as I am about that, I'm very disappointed in myself. I planned on making a big deal out of going to register to vote in Gloucester, now that I'm back in Gloucester, and I totally screwed up. I did not realize that there was a 16 cutoff date, 16 days before the election, so I cannot vote. But I'm gonna make it my duty, I guess, to remind people that are not as stupid as I am, to that are registered in Gloucester or wherever you're registered, to get out and vote, because it's so important. Voting gives you the right to bitch. If you don't vote, you really don't have the right to bitch. So that's coming up. It's on the this year's election is on the Tuesday, the November 5th, as Toby pointed out earlier. And whoever you're in favor of, I'd suggest you go to their websites, read up on their ideas, and draw your own conclusions on who you want in office.
Yeah, in Gloucester, you've got at-large councillors, the school committee, the mayor's race, Ward 2 and Ward 5.
Is it just two ward races?
I think the other ones.
I think you're right, but
I'm pretty sure that's it.
Yeah. That's amazing. I'm shocked that no one, like, I think that Paul McGarry's doing a good job and everything, but I'm kind of shocked that there's no one else from East Gloucester that would.
He's an organized guy. He uses all the tools available to him.
Yeah, we're not doing endorsements on the blog.
No, but I'm just saying
he is a good guy.
But one of the reasons why he's has been as successful as he has is because he's he has his stuff together.
Right. So what? Yeah. And he's not running against anybody, so that's not like it's not like we're taking away from someone else. But right. So vote. Plan your night on voting. I may think about having a voting party and just get people together and celebrate voting. Thinking about doing that. I think that would be a good idea. Maybe provide rides. Maybe I could do that. We'll figure it out. This past Friday night, a couple nights ago, I was fortunate enough to be invited to participate in the Rotary's trivia night. I think it was their third or fourth trivia night that they had done. And John McElhenney, a good friend of mine, invited me to be part of his team with Greg Bover and a guy I met for the first time. He's not from here, but he lives in West Gloucester now. His name is Chad Konecki. And Chad is crazy interesting guy, and he, as interesting as he is, he's absolute maybe one of the funniest guys I know. He's definitely top 10 funny guys. But he is the national director of the Gatorade Player of the Year Award, which is it's either through ESPN, I think it's ESPN, and he's the senior editor at Rise Magazine, which is affiliated with either ESPN or Sports Illustrated through ESPN. But the guy was so funny. And I'm so embarrassed because these three guys, Greg Bover, you know, is a brilliant guy. John McElhenney, former writer for Associated Press and the Globe. I mean, hilarious guy, funny guy. And Chad Konecki, also a writer. So these guys, way...
You were in their shadow?
To say their shadow would be an insult to shadows. I felt so stupid at the end of the night. I added nothing to that team except for maybe comic relief with how stupid some of my suggestions were. But these guys carried us to a second place finish, and we lost by just a point or two to the three-time champions with Meredith Fine.
Been winning all the time.
They won three. They won two. This is their third year in a row that they won. Meredith Fine, lawyer and former chamber president Sal Frontero, some guy with an enormous head. And I think it should be under protest that they won, because if you saw the size, this guy's head weighed probably as much as my torso. And I don't think that it's fair to have a guy on your team with that big a head that could fit that much brain matter inside of a head. Because if you took...
You think that's how they chose him? They knew.
It was obvious. It's like you hear of a pea brain. Like I personally, pea brain, this guy, fucking elephant brain. The guy was, his head, how could I, what would I?
Well, people know you're not that smart. You've got the deep set eyes, the sloping forehead.
Yes, yes. It's sloping, and it slopes a long way. There's a long, huge slope. But this guy's head, I would compare it to the, legitimately to one
Come
of
Come on, you're making fun of the guy.
No, no, I'm not making fun of him. He was brilliant. The guy had to be brilliant. But I mean, maybe it was like a watermelon size head. I mean, the head was enormous, but he was so smart. The team was, does that sound like sour grapes?
No.
No,
it doesn't sound like sour grapes.
They deserve the win. They won 2 years
but
beforehand.
But you're suggesting that they had
an unfair advantage.
The guy with the big head. Because this guy had more.
Huge cranium, huge brain inside. I mean, how do you compete with that? I mean, it's like storage, right? So on a computer, you have so much storage space to retain information. Like, you know, a terabyte. This guy probably had a bazillion terabytes in his brain, is what I'm saying.
All right.
This guy, I don't know how do you take that down? It's like, I don't know how you take
And you're
that
serious.
Down.
Here.
No, you don't think that. Do you think that the size of someone's brain is directly proportionate to how smart they could potentially be, or how much information they could store? I don't know. It's a good question. Maybe we could find a brain surgeon that could tell us that.
Right.
What do you think initially? What do you think? You think it's possible?
You're saying that if we're ever playing Trivial Pursuit, we should get this guy on our team.
Fucking hey, I want this guy. I want him on. Like they should. Let's put it this way. If they replaced me, the team that we had, if you got rid of the dummy, I'm the dummy, obviously. If you put him on that team, fuck.
Guaranteed winner.
I would take that team versus the field. And there was like 25 teams, and I would take that team versus the field. That's
wow.
What I'm saying.
And we don't know his name.
I don't know his name.
Interesting.
I wonder if it's, I don't know, does the Rotary, Gloucester Rotary have a website?
I don't know.
But, yeah, very impressive. Very impressive performance. Very impressive. I think that the third place team was a city councilor team made up of Wynot, Cox, Steve LeBlanc, and Greg Verger. And they were a solid team. But we edged them out. Their ass all over the place. I'm just kidding. No. No, they're good.
That is funny.
They were good. No, Melissa Cox is a known trivia night denizen. I think they play at Dog Bar. I think they have a regular trivia night at Dog Bar. I think she's a regular. Well, she used to be before she was city council. Now she's so busy. All those city councils have to go to so many meetings. Like, I can't imagine, like,
yeah, there's subcommittee meetings, and then you sometimes want to attend one of the others.
You know what's interesting? Like, no, I'm not going to bring this up because it would seem political, so I'm not going to bring that up. Okay, but yeah, congratulations to the Meredith Fine and Sal Frontero team. Really, really outstanding performance. Three-time champions says a lot. So we move on to that topic. To a topic that is kind of geeky, but it's interesting to me. I won't go into it too deep, but I've been looking at tablets. The iPad 5, they just announced it goes on sale November 1st.
You have a first generation.
First generation, which is four generations ago, because this is the... So mine is just kind of like laggy and stutters and... But it's held up remarkably well for, you know, this 4 years ago I got it. So by today's standards, 4 years of technology and to still work is, like, I don't think there's another piece of technology that I own that I use 4 years later. So the iPad definitely, you cannot argue, like, no matter what side of the Android, Microsoft, Apple, wherever your thing falls, the one thing that you definitely cannot argue is the quality of the hardware that Apple puts out consistently. I would argue that there are a lot of Microsoft apps that I, desktop applications that I use that are far more easy to produce content for the blog on. But as far as consuming content, I think Apple makes it the slickest machines out there. But anyway, so I checked out the iPad 5 specs, and it looks like they managed to shave. It was like 1.44 pounds, the last generation, the iPad 4, and they made the new one 1 pound. And that, to me, and at the same time retained the same amount of battery life.
To me, that are they calling it the AirBook or
Air? No? They're calling it close. They're calling it the iPad Air.
iPad Air,
which, you know, makes sense. That I think to people, yeah, I think I called it. I mistakenly called it the iPad 5. It's the fifth generation iPad, but the official term for it is the iPad Air.
Has been a term that they use to describe their lightweight notebooks. The AirBook.
Well, yeah, the Mac, the Mac Airs, they're lightweight, a little bit less powerful than their full-fledged laptops, but for portability, they blow everything out of the water. Really great devices. So Microsoft come out with their own tablet, and it's called the Surface, and they have the Surface, which is the basic one, and then they have the Surface Pro. The Surface Pro is a full 2 pounds, and that's without. They have a keypad, a very thin touchpad keypad that magnetically attaches to this tablet. So that makes it. It's probably going to end up being 2.5 pounds when all is said and done. Now, it's difficult to compare the two because the Surface Pro, which is the 2 pounds, and then with the keyboard dock, more money, can do a ton more. It's a full-fledged Microsoft 8.1 interface. Like it can run anything that you could run on a desktop application can run on this, which is astounding. As far as it has an i5 processor, which is like a upper middle tier desktop processor, like very powerful, in other words.
But all of that technology costs money, Joe. I mean, if we had an opportunity that there were no budgetary limitations, we'd probably all have that stuff. But for a lot of people, they have to go in a direction that they can afford.
No, I agree. Well, the Surface Pro, which is 2.5 pounds, and it has all that extra functionality. It's like $900. Nine, and then when you add the keyboard, it's like just over $1,000. Which, at that point, see, like the idea of a tablet to me, is something that you can hold. You use a tablet as a portability thing. You take it out of the house with you, or you use it on the couch or in bed. Right, and you don't need necessarily a tablet to do what a desktop or a laptop. It's nice to have that thing, but when you get what people should hold one to understand what the difference between 2 full pounds and 1 pound, or 2 pounds and 1.5 pounds. At 1.5 pounds, the last generation iPad, you could hold it for a decent amount of time, but you know. It was okay and everything. But when you get to that 2 pound threshold and you're holding the
portability isn't there.
It isn't, and it really isn't. So it's a huge sacrifice. So I'm going to get to the point. If you don't have that, the whole idea of the tablet is to be portable. You take that away, and you may as well have an Ultrabook, a super lightweight. Either Windows or MacBook Air machine, which is actually less money, and they have them now that they weigh like 2.5 pounds, which is the same as this other thing for less money.
So why? But you're not going to be able to juggle it on the couch or in bed.
I
as easily.
But you're not. But at 2 pounds or 2.5 pounds, it's not going to be that comfortable in bed anyway. And if you're on the couch, I would argue that a laptop is a, because you can, you rest the laptop on your lap, and it's more convenient to work off of. So I, to me, Microsoft could have an iPad killer if they shaved a half a pound, some weight off of it, because it has a ton more functionality.
What you're saying is...
And it's much more heavyweight and robust of an operating system, what you can do with it. Okay.
I'm just saying that the point you're trying to make is what is most critical...
tablet.
You're not going to use it if it's not lightweight. It doesn't matter what features it has.
There are alternatives when you get to that weight for less money that are just as powerful, more powerful. So either the price has to come down, or like I think a form factor of a super light and thin laptop is makes more sense than a heavy tablet. And Apple's ticking those boxes, and there are some Android tablets which also are weighing in at that weight and are very powerful and can do a lot of things. But Microsoft just... isn't there
but
yet.
For most people, right, the reality is all they are is email machines, something
consumption that, devices.
Right, that's all they are. So, in many cases, people are buying way too much to begin with.
I would agree with that. I would say probably 80% of people, an iPad or any Android device, is more than enough. For probably 75% of the people.
And when they come out with a new generation every 6 months or something, the need to upgrade just really isn't there.
Yeah. Oh,
for 80% of the people or 85% of the people.
I would agree. Yeah. Here's a sad thing I find about this is, you know, because iPads are so easy to carry around. And these Android tablets are so easy to carry around. And the kids are my nephew BJ, who goes to St. John's Prep, they use iPads for a lot of their schoolwork, and they use them in the classroom. And their books are actually, they don't carry books around; they download the books onto iPads, which is pretty cool. But if that's your only device and you're not working on a desktop computer or a laptop computer, you're not learning as much of the creation of content. You can write on these things, cause, you know, with a docking station. But you're not, the power of a desktop applications and the programs that you have with a real computer as opposed to a tablet. I think a lot of these kids are growing up with machines that are really based on consumption devices and put the creation on the back burner. I think that's kind of sad in a way.
You can't really write a significant document or a book on an iPad, is what you're saying.
Well, you can, but you have to have another. You have to have they have these Bluetooth keyboards and stuff like that. But more than that, like creating videos, and editing videos, and working with CAD and stuff like that, and different. There are a lot of applications that just kids aren't learning how they can do things on. And maybe there's a lot of things that they are that they're so advanced that I don't really know about in them. But it just seems like all these devices now are based off of consumption devices. And Samsung has their Samsung store that you buy apps through them. Apple has the iTunes that they want you to buy their apps through them. Google has the Play Store for Android devices that they want you to buy apps through them. So they're making these devices really easy to buy stuff for, to consume, like movies and listen to books on these good things.
Google has their own, they offer their own notebook computer.
Oh, the Chromebook. Yeah, but it's that's limited as well. It doesn't run a ton of desktop
applications. It's $250.
No, I get it. No, right. But this goes along with my theory that, they're going to give you a computer for $250 that gives you access to the Google Store and everything, and you can buy music and you can play games and stuff like that, and you can bang out emails, but it's... But for real content creation, like, you know, video editing and stuff like that, it strips that away. So kids are getting the basics, but are they, and people that are buying these things are getting the basics, and they're not really discovering that how much more they can do with a real laptop, a powerful laptop or a powerful desktop.
Desktop.
Yeah.
Desktops are actually relatively inexpensive.
A desktop, like, if every family should have a desktop in their house, because the power that you get and the storage you get and everything else, I would 100 times rather compose the blog on my desktop than my laptop with a small screen or my Android phone with a tiny screen. I could bang out posts on my desktop computer, you know, at least 50% faster than anything else.
They're pretty durable. I mean, you're not lugging them around, and you're not subjecting them to an environment where...
But they have the power. The processing power is there to run more powerful editing tools instead of, you know, these dumbed-down... Like, Windows 8, was such a disappointment, because it was obvious what Microsoft did was they just wanted everything to be cross-platform. And what they did
was... So what are you using? So you prefer 7?
I wish I had 7. I don't. I have 7 on my desktop here at the dock where I can create most of the content. At home on my laptop, I use Windows 8, and I am not impressed with it. I boot right to the desktop environment on that, which is similar to this, but...
I have one system with Windows 7 and one system that's almost old enough to vote. Speaking about voting, it's got Vista as an operating system.
Vista was such a mess. Yeah. That was my least favorite out of all of them.
That's why they changed it instantly. I mean, some people at that time went right back to XP Pro.
I bought the computer we have for the wharf that I do my, you know, the bookkeeping on, and it's not connected to the internet because I want to make sure that no viruses get on it or whatever. Was bought as an XP machine when Vista was already come out. I went back a generation because I knew
XP Pro is a great operating system.
They say that Microsoft, I don't think Microsoft is supporting like the antivirus on that or something. You know, like they're not giving updates on hard. Like there's going to be programs that are coming out in the future here that just
they're not supporting.
They're not going to support, which is whatever.
What else we got today?
What else we got today? I don't know. Do we have anything else? We have, I think that was it. I don't know. I'm looking. Oh, Google Hangouts I want to talk about. This is, I guess, a little techie, but I want to know if anybody uses Google Hangouts. Google's like trying to push this. It's an online chat feature, and you can do these Hangouts where people, like you can have like 10 different people all in the same chat room with video chat or whatever, and it seems like an interesting thing. I've seen some podcasts, some video podcasts. Android Central uses it to create their video podcast. You can videotape like the screen, but I don't know anyone. I think the problem with it is that like you have to have a Google account, and there's so many people. Unless everybody is using it, total cross-platform, then when you find a couple people that you actually want to talk to and they're not on it, you get frustrated and you just move on to something else. Have you ever heard of it?
I have not, but I'm the wrong person to ask. I am one of the least, even though it may sound like I know a few things, I really am the least well-informed person when it comes to all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I like Google products, and the reason I like, if you give me a choice between a Microsoft product, a Google product, or an Apple product, I go with the Google product because Google is cross-platform. Like, I don't care how great some of these Apple things are. They make them so that they only communicate with other Apple devices, which to me is, so half the people now are getting Androids. So that's bullshit, right? And then the Microsoft that, you know, won't work with Apple. It seems like Google is in it, like that Google things work on Apple devices, they work on Android devices, they work on Microsoft devices. So I've put my basket of the tools that I use more into the Google basket than any other basket. I don't know. I think I don't know how other people. I know true Apple people, a lot of them only use the Apple. Like
it, yeah, but they the true Apple people. You're talking about people that drank the Kool-Aid. People, a lot of the true, so-called true Apple people.
Yeah, like someone like Paul Morrison that like you know will exclusively use Apple products, and they you know and they have a, I don't know. I just it bothers me when like someone I can't communicate with someone because they, like I know if I bother my mother all the time. Like don't she uses AOL as her. Email still, and I'm like, you ma, like this is ridiculous. You gotta get on Gmail, and she doesn't do it. So it just drives me crazy. There's so many great Google products that all integrate from one username. You get Google Maps. You get you know you can store this information and go from your iPhone to your computer to your tablet, and they all you can import your contacts very easily and. Just makes things a lot easier.
Well, I have an Android operating system for my phone, and I have a Google email, a Gmail account, and it all seems to integrate very easily. Your contact lists, etc.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I hope we didn't bore to tears everybody that doesn't listen to the tech stuff. But I know some people appreciate it. And they're looking for information. So maybe someone got some
of that. Let Joey know.
There you go. Yeah, let us know. Anyway, this is Joey Shimataro with my friend Toby Pett here on October 27th. This was the Gloucester Cast. Thanks for listening.